There were several different times it had me in tears. That place centered on a woman who grew up in church and basically missed what Christmas was all about. Sat in church service growing up. Again, for her, growing up, it was just her culture. It's not actual conversion. The Christianity they have, the religion they have, isn't based upon a conversion. It's based upon culture. It's just based on what they knew. There were several different things brought up within the play that are taken from experience and life of what hinder people from seeing what Christmas and what the gospel is actually all about. I would like to bring out some of those. If you have your Bible this morning, I'm going to be reading a few verses from Luke chapter 2, starting in verse number 6. And Brother Daniel Sobeck, by the way, did my heart good up there watching you. Have you tears while you do that? Great job. Starting in verse number 6. And so it was, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What a great event takes place right here. I could just imagine being those shepherds. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. This is why he's here, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All of heaven knew the significance of Christmas. There was nobody in heaven missing what that day was all about. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, bless the next few minutes. I pray you be glorified and honored, Lord, and that your word would speak to our heart and draw us closer to you. And Lord, if anyone here is hearing that has never truly been converted, oh Lord, we pray for that today. We pray they repent and place their faith in Jesus Christ to see that need so clearly, Lord. Lord, please bless and work. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Although many miss Christmas, the reality is Christmas is the one holiday we have that is most visible. You can see the lights driving through neighborhoods, around stores. You can see the decorations, the trees. Stores are packed with people shopping. Radio stations changing their entire format to switch to Christmas music. There are plays and cantatas like this. Christmas movies are packed everywhere. It's the one holiday that many people can visibly see. All in our country know it's Christmas season. You can see it. Not simply because of the calendar and the date, but because as you... I deal with people like the innkeeper who missed Christmas, who right before him was a young pregnant woman and her husband, ready to birth her child. And of course, I'm sure he was packed. The census was taking place. I'm sure he did not have room in the inn for them, but just dismissed them. Think for a minute what he missed. Had he said, let me try and find some help for you right now. I wonder if he would have been there for the birth and when the shepherds arrived and told just happened. Herod missed it, didn't he? Pride. Herod missed Christmas because he was too worried about losing his position and his power. Herod was a man about himself. Wasn't looking for salvation. Wasn't looking to give God glory. He was worried about his own glory. Herod missed it. How about the chief priest? They just saw these wise men coming from the east. These are noble men. I preached on them just a week or two ago. The chief priests know who these wise men are. They are the king makers of Persia. And they hear about the how they have knowledge that the Messiah of Israel has been born or is about to. Go? No. They don't travel with him. No interest. Within the religion, it was enough. Their position within the religion, that was enough. That was all they wanted. They had the accolades of the people, the respect of the people. That was what they wanted. It wasn't that desiring truth before God. It was simply their religion. They missed it. They were indifferent. Christmas, of course, is about the birth, as Luke tells us here, with the angel's proclamation of the Savior. Mankind needed a Savior. It is the day that when God became flesh, when God became a man, which was going to be necessary in order to save us. What happened 2,000 years ago when Christ was born is one of the most significant events the world has ever known. The importance of it cannot be understated. Unless Jesus Christ becomes a man, mankind has no hope at salvation come judgment day. None. The play portrayed a person who is not unlike multitudes in this world in our own nation. A person who grew up in church, yet never heard. A person because of growing up in church, perhaps even praying a prayer when she was younger, thought she was just fine. Life was evidence that it was not, that there was no conversion. Far from God, even to the point of having disdain for the things of God, ashamed of them. All evidence was clear. Her family even planned that in she would come to Christ knowing she wasn't saved. Many things prevented her from coming to know Christ. She was missing what Christmas was about. I'll take here just a minute or two to touch on what was preventing her, because it also prevents multitudes. Number one, bitterness. Many will miss Christmas because of bitterness towards God. She had the telling her mother what she considered her faith, how angry she had at God because he had allowed her dad to die. Well, I don't know how many I've talked to. I can think of two family members, multitudes of others, just angry at God. At some tragedy that has taken place, some mishap that has happened, and they blame God for it. And that festers in them. They say, well, he had the power to stop it, but he didn't. And they put on God something he has never promised. We do live in a sin-cursed earth. The Lord, he made that very clear going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, that we will have trials, we will have struggles, there will be tragedy. The result of sin in this world. It's why there is death. And yet the very God they turn from is the one they need to be running to for help. He does have the comfort that's needed. He does have the grace that's needed. And he is the one who's promised that one day it all will be over with. The sorrow, the tears, all gone. He's promised a new heaven and a new earth for those who come to him, which will be perfect for an eternity. But again, many fail to see the goodness of God and blame him and get bitter. Please don't turn from the one who loves you and has provided a way to help you. The Bible tells us all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be a kind one, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even if God and Christ have forgiven you. Listen, this is speaking. If something's festered in your heart towards God, as the book of Hebrews stresses, by the way, you deal with it quickly. You don't let it fester. You deal with it quickly. Not only was bitterness upon God, she was also betraying her own heart. Deception. She was a Christian. Always been a Christian, she said two or three times. Again, sitting in churches who would say, I'm a Christian. I've always been a Christian. I grew up in it. I know it. Again, as I started in my introduction, it was just culture. It was never an actual conversion. There are multitudes today who are away from God that did grow up in it that really do think they're fine because maybe they prayed a prayer, but their whole life was full of the evidence that there was never a true conversion. They can even be in the same place, even ashamed of the things of God. It is there for Him. So some betray their own heart, telling themselves, I'm okay. When you're not, there has to be genuine conversion to Christ. So some allow bitterness to hinder them from seeing what Christmas is all about. Some deceive their own heart and thinking they're really all right when they're not. And lastly, blindness. Blindness to the greatness of Christmas causes them to miss it. Being lost, you thought missing the magnitude of what the day represented. Just dismissing it. Completely blinded. The Bible tells us the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the lost in 1 Corinthians 1:23. The Bible tells us how apart from Christ you are blinded. You can hear great words and the great truth just like portrayed here in the Christmas songs and they mean nothing. Just blinded to it. I mean, think of Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Let me get that out of here. I mean, those words. It was one of the portions just bringing me to tears as we were going over the words. Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations. It's not just going to one group. It's not just for Israel. This is for the world. Join the triumph of the skies, the angels that were proclaiming. With the angelic host proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ, by highest heaven adored. Christ, the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold, He come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Haileth the incarnate deity. Incredible, the truth that is right there. Your multitudes will miss it. As I was driving this week, there was, I don't remember, was this song or another song, and I was listening to the words and thinking, that there's probably multitudes right now in town listening to this, just like I am. But you wonder, what do they think when they hear it? So many are blinded to what Christmas is all about, to the gospel. Blinded to the importance of this day. But what that day represents was God coming in the flesh in order that God and sinner can be reconciled. Make no mistake, without Jesus Christ, in the moment you're born into this world, you are at a separation with your Creator because of sin. You will live this life, you will before God in judgment day, and you will be found guilty. God knows that. He knows if you stand before Him, you have sinned against Him, you have broken His law, you will be found guilty, and it is an everlasting separation in a very real hell. But as the Bible proclaims, God doesn't desire that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God, in who He is, being God, just, holy, cannot just say, it's all right. I'm just going to save everybody. He's just. He's holy. It's who He is. So He came up with a way through His grace that salvation can be made possible to all, the educated and the uneducated, the rich and the poor. It didn't matter. He came up with the only way possible to save mankind. God understood that because of the sin of Adam, it plunged all of mankind into this sinful nature of rebellion against God. And so what he did, which we talked about even last week or week before about Christmas, was God became a second Adam, the Bible tells us. Perfect. He's the only one to live the perfect life on this earth. No other person has done it. You haven't done it. I haven't done it. He is the only one as a man to live a perfect life. Do you understand what that means? In all of human history, as a man, Jesus Christ, as a man, is the only one qualified, the only one who could stand before the Father at Judgment Day and say this, you are innocent. You have no guilt. None. That's not true of another person who's been born on this earth. Not one. But please understand this. He lived that perfect life for you. He was living that perfect life as a man. And he could give that perfect life to you. You say, what does that mean? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. Listen to this verse. So important. It's telling us what Jesus through his life and through his death on the cross. It's speaking, there's pronouns that are used of us. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, God the Father, to sin for us, who knew no sin. He was perfect. But here's why he did it. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made perfect in the righteousness of God. When he died for you, what I'm saying is this. I used to use this illustration a little bit more. Let me use it right now. He died that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. If you had your name up here, let's say this was your court document at Judgment Day. This is what God's going to present to you when you stand before him in judgment. So it has your name and every single sin you've ever committed. He's going to say, here it is. When you stand before God in Judgment Day, it's not a trial to determine if you're guilty. It's God showing you, you are guilty. Here's what you did. So let's say this is that court document that God's going to put before you. Your name, and you see it, and you know. There's no hiding. There's nothing I can do. Now over here, we have another court document. This is Jesus Christ. There is absolutely no sin or guilt underneath his name. It is perfect righteousness. Do you understand that? So here's your court document with your name and all of your sin, and Christ with his name and his righteousness. When we say that Christ died for you, all right, this is what we mean. Listen to the verse again. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When I say that Christ died for you, what you can do is you can take your name right here and remove it and place it over here. Remove Christ's name and place it over here. Now, all of your sin is accounted to him. And you know what he did? He suffered in your place. He took the wrath of God for sin. But Jesus is God. And after 3 days and three nights, he defeated death and rose again. Hell did not hold him. If God judges you for your sin and you're in hell, you're not God. You're not coming out. And if your name is placed over here, guess what? You look perfect. God's requirement. Perfection. Through the birth of his son was introducing the second Adam. A man who would live a perfect life. In order that he could take your place in judgment and give the Savior is born. The one who would save the people from their sins. Because when he went to that cross, he would literally take your place in judgment that he could freely give you his righteousness. Don't. He died for all. is death is not effectual for all. Jesus Christ himself said these words. Think about it. Few be there that find it. You say, well, how do we switch those names? The Bible gives two key words throughout the scriptures. Repentance and faith. Jesus died on the cross. Two men died with him. One went to hell. The other one God saved. What do they do? Christ is literally dying on the cross. Two men with him. The one thief speaks up and says, listen, if thou be the Christ, get us down from here. We'll believe. Jesus never acknowledges. The other thief speaks up and says, you need to be quiet. He's saying, I'm guilty. I know why I'm dying right now. I know what I've done. And this thief, listen to what he goes on to say. He never asked to come down from the cross. What he asked to be saved from was judgment that he was going to face. So now comest into the kingdom. Remember me. The Lord turned to him at that moment and said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. He was saved just like that. What did he do? He placed his faith in the only one who could help him and nothing else. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who he turned to. Listen, if your faith is in this church or in your works or because you think you have your own thing worked out before God, you are deceived and you are blinded. If you think it's because you got baptized in water, you are deceived. Is repentance and faith in Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's in him. So the question is, has there been a time of genuine conversion in your life when you truly repented and placed your faith solely in Jesus Christ and nothing else? If there isn't, do that this morning. You can come to him this morning. If that drawing is there, you're feeling, say, listen, I need that. You can place your faith in Christ this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed.